All right, welcome into College Golf Talk. This is a difficult week for Burko and I. Burko is on the broadcast for the Augusta National Women's Amateur. I got some writing duties, a little bit of TV here. So we figured we'd bring back kind of this extra credit, what we've been calling these episodes. And I think many would agree that there is no better freshman in the country on the men's side in college golf right now than Kihei Akina from BYU. Kihei, thanks for joining this episode of College Golf Talk. Fresh off a runner-up at the Goodwin. You balled out at the Puerto Rico Open recently, won your first college event a couple of weeks ago. How have you made it look so easy these past few weeks and really all season?
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Brentley. And it's been a busy few weeks, but it's been a lot of fun. Just playing with my team and getting that opportunity on the PGA Tour. It's been a lot of fun.
So 9 top 16s, I guess. Only one event where you finished outside the top 16. Did you expect this coming in, or how much of this has been a surprise?
Yeah, I kind of expected to come in and play well. Just kind of, you know, kind of have a score for my team. I'm trying to be a leader for my team. I didn't really expect much. I didn't really expect to come out and, you know, have these performances that I've had so far. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far.
What are you most proud of in the way that you've played? Maybe a particular aspect of your game, or a particular, you know, thing you've had to overcome. What are you most proud of?
Yeah, I think I'm really proud of some of the adversity that I've been able to overcome, and kind of my mindset and approach to the game has been, you know, I feel like really good the last, you know, ever since the start of 2026, I feel like it's been really good. So, my mental game has been solid, and I feel like my game is in a good spot right now. I feel like I'm always in a state where I'm trying to continue to learn and grow and take each tournament as a new experience.
Who do you credit most with the work that you do mentally? Do you have a sports psych, or do you lean on your dad? Do you lean on your coaches? Where do you learn to improve in that aspect?
Yeah, we've been working with a sports psychologist lately, but I feel like I kind of give a lot of my credit to that from my upbringing. Being born and raised in Hawaii, the culture that I was raised in, you know, kind of taught me to, you know, stay super humble and prioritize family. And, you know, golf isn't the only thing in my life. Really focusing on that is important to, I feel like, playing good golf too.
Now, I had the family stuff for a little bit later down in this episode, but you mentioned it. So I think we should go there, because I think it's super interesting. But tell us a little bit about just how many siblings do you have, and how did you get introduced to the game at such an early age over there on the island?
Yeah, so I got 6 siblings, ranging from 7 to 27. So there's a 20-year gap. Two brothers, 4 sisters. I'm a middle child. And my oldest brother, Keanu, who played at BYU a couple of years ago, I kind of learned the game from him. We grew up on Turtle Bay Golf Course on the North Shore of Oahu. And I would kind of just go out. We lived right on the first hole of the golf course, and I would kind of just go out there on the putting green and mess around, and basically whatever my older brother Keanu did, I just followed in his footsteps. So we were kind of a basketball family growing up. So that was my main sport. That was my siblings' main sport. So I did a lot of training in basketball. And then it wasn't until probably 13 or 14 years old, that's when I started to take golf more seriously, and that's when it kind of became my main sport.
Now, did your dad play basketball? He kind of looks like a basketball player.
Yeah, he plays basketball. He played at BYU Hawaii. My grandpa played and has been a coach for. He's still coaching now. He's been coaching for forever. And my uncle's played basketball. Yeah, we got a long line of basketball in my family.
And one of your brothers plays for NYU as well, right?
Yep. Yeah, my second oldest brother, Kavika, he just graduated from New York University and played on the basketball team there.
So how did you not end up playing alongside AJ DeBonsa at BYU on the hardwood?
I think I needed a few more inches.
You're pretty tall, though, right? What are you, 6'6", 5'11"?
No. Probably 5'9", 5'10". I'm not that tall.
I mean, you still got some growing to do, though.
Hopefully.
When's the first time you beat Keanu on the golf course, dude? Do you remember?
Oh, I actually think it was right the first time we played together when he got back from his mission. I think that was the first time I ever beat him. He was kind of shocked of how good I got while he was gone on his mission. And he came back and was a little bit shocked, but I think that was the first time I beat him.
So I got a text about some of your hobbies. It was basketball, comma, traveling, which I hope that didn't mean traveling and basketball, but I kind of got the idea. What places have you been just in terms of traveling, and why do you feel like you enjoy it so much? Because a lot of people hate traveling.
Yeah, I mean, golf has brought me to so many different places, such cool places. So I feel like traveling is definitely something I love. If we're at a tournament, you know, I like to go and kind of explore a little bit, maybe go see the city, or you know, find some good local food. Or New York City is my favorite city that I've ever been to. But one of my favorite tournaments, like tournament cities that I've been to, was the Northeast Amateur, and I think it was in Rhode Island. That was a really, yeah, really
Rumford,
cool spot.
Rhode Island, Wanamoyse.
Yeah, Rumford. That was a really cool spot. But yeah, I've been to so many different places now. It's just cool to be able to see all the different spots.
Now, great tournament, Northeast Amateur. I believe they still do the long drive contest before the tournament starts. A lot of people, I've never heard that before. Rumford as kind of a cultural mecca of exploring.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's kind of halfway between Providence and Boston. And
yeah.
Now, we talked about, I mentioned AJ DeBonsa earlier. You know, my condolences with the early exit from the tournament. But you guys have kind of had a relationship that predates college. Talk about your guys' friendship and how close you guys have been, and how much of a resource each one of you has been for the other as you've navigated this freshman year of NIL and, you know, attention and all that.
Yeah, I first met AJ, I think it was our senior years of high school, down at Black Desert in St. George. He went to Utah Prep, which was just right next door to the Black Desert. So we got to meet up there, and, you know, luckily was able to start a little bit of a relationship. And then, you know, he ended up committing to BYU shortly after that. And then, yeah, just to see him, you know, do his thing on the court, you know, when he got to BYU, it's been really cool. You know, number one player in the country, I would say. But yeah, we're doing a little fundraiser tournament together down in St. George again, coming up in like a week or so. So that'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, just, I feel like it's not just AJ. There's a lot of athletes at BYU right now that are kind of, you know, doing some really special things. So it's really cool to be at BYU right now. But yeah, AJ is a really cool guy. Yeah, I think he needs a little bit of work on his golf game, but his basketball game is pretty good.
Yeah, I still feel like he probably has a better chance of beating you in golf, or maybe a putting contest, than you do one-on-one.
He actually did beat me in a putting contest.
Okay, I got to know about this.
Yeah, when we met in Black Desert for the first time, we did a little a little putting contest and he beat me. So I guess I got to work on my putting.
I mean, it's beginner's luck. I remember one time a few years back when Sahith Theegala was still at Pepperdine, we did a little chipping thing on video and we didn't post it because I beat him in this chipping contest. You know, Sahith prides himself on getting up and down out of a trash can most of the time. And so I've always had that on him. So this is probably very similar. AJ just got lucky. If you had him again, you'd beat him the next 99 times. Tell us a little bit about or more about this fundraising event. What charities or what does it benefit and how much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, so it's benefiting BYU Athletics and as well as his foundation, AJ DeBonsa Foundation.
He already has a foundation. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. I think we're going to get some cool guys to be able to come down and play. And I'm just looking forward to having a good time. And, you know, the cool thing about AJ and myself is, you know, we're always trying to look at ways that we can give back to, I'd say, especially younger generation. That's something that his foundation, you know, focuses on is younger generation. And I feel like that's a really cool thing that, you know, some of these athletes have been able to do is use their platform to give back. So I think that's cool.
What do you feel like you learn most from your parents? You know, you seem like you have a pretty good perspective on life and athletics already. What do you feel like is the biggest words of wisdom that they've instilled on you?
Yeah, my dad taught me when I was young, it's a saying called stacking papers. It's kind of the concept of, you know, one workout or one day of practice equals one paper. And you just stack those days on top of each other and on top of each other. And over, you know, a year or two, you might not have that high of a stack, but it takes 7, 8, 10 years to be able to get, you know, where you want to in life. And just the work ethic that, you know, my dad has instilled in me and the love and care that my mom has instilled in me is I'm really grateful for them and I wouldn't really be where I am today without them.
That's definitely an analogy that was previous generation because now everything is on a phone. There's almost no paper anymore. But that's awesome. What's it like growing up, as one of seven kids? I think too, Maverick McNeely, when he was growing up with his three brothers, his dad, who, by the way, was a multi-billionaire, sold his company to Microsoft. But so they had all the money in the world, but they all lived in one bedroom with four twin-size beds stacked next to each other like they were in the military. What was it like growing up with six siblings?
Yeah, we grew up in a little condo on Turtle Bay, and you know we kind of all had to cram in there, and we didn't have my two little sisters. They weren't born yet, but we kind of had to, you know, cram, and we would actually all go and sleep on our parents' bed and just cram on one bed because we wouldn't really want to sleep by ourselves. I wouldn't have it any other way. It was a lot of fun growing up with my siblings. My siblings mean a lot to me. I look up to them each and every day. So they've been a great example to me.
And they've all played college sports or play college sports. Your sister plays at Harvard on the rugby team.
Yep, she played. She graduated. She played rugby at Harvard.
And what other sports are we talking about kind of as you move down the line of all your siblings?
Yeah, my sister right under me, she's a senior in high school. She's gotten really into rugby as well. So she's, you know, kind of going through that recruiting process right now. And then a little bit of a gap after that, we still call them baby sisters, but they're 7 and 10. They're doing a little bit of soccer right now. So whatever they can get into and, you know, just get them going, they're good at that.
I feel like soccer is kind of the gateway sport, right? You kind of learn to play on a team.
I played that growing up. I feel like every little kid plays soccer growing up.
Did you like soccer or not really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love soccer.
Is there a sport that you don't like? You seem like you are pretty sports obsessed.
I wouldn't say I don't like any sports, no.
What do you think of ping pong?
I love ping pong.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a sport, though. That's more of a game, but
if pickleball is a sport, ping pong is definitely a sport.
I love both of those. Those are fun.
you've made several pro starts. I guess the Korn Ferry Tour, you made the cut a couple of years ago. Played Utah last year, missed the cut there, but then, you know, I mentioned the T16 at the Puerto Rico Open a couple of weeks ago. What do you feel like you learned maybe last year in Utah that you applied and saw some improvement on a couple of weeks ago in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I think just kind of over time, you know, just getting that experience, getting more comfortable on that stage, you know, that's kind of why we all play, is we want to play on the professional level and on the PGA Tour. So that's where we all want to be. And yeah, just getting that experience was, you know, just I'm really grateful for to be able to just play at that stage and to play well was really fun, and being in contention a little bit was even better.
I've talked to a couple of your peers about your game, and I think they're being too nice, but there's probably a lot of truth in this. They say you really don't have a hole in your game. Like you never miss a shot. I'm sure you miss a shot every now and then, but where do you feel like your strengths are and your weaknesses are in golf? And now that you've seen how they've compared to PGA Tour players, where do you feel like you are game-wise?
I think the biggest strength of my game is, you know, the level-headedness that I stay at, and just kind of the even keel that I have throughout rounds is something I take pride in. And then I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but I struggled putting in the fall season, and that kind of held me back a little bit. So we did some work, and we did a little putter change, and I've been rocking a new putter, I think just before the new year, so that's been working well. And yeah, I feel like, you know, ball striking is a strength of mine as well. I feel like I can hit it well anywhere. So yeah, the game feels pretty good right now.
So even with the putting struggles in the fall, I'm looking at your results. You were 10th, 6th, 16th. Pales in comparison to what you've done this spring, but you mentioned the putter switch. I think I kind of know what you did, but did you go from blade to mallet like we've seen so many players do?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't like to admit that, you know, being part of the big population, but yeah, we went from a blade to a mallet. It's been working well, so.
It's almost like kind of going from carrying your bag to a push cart, the way you kind of talk about it.
A little bit.
Is it a sense of a pride, like using a blade? Is it just something about kind of the vibe of it, or?
Well, nowadays I would say yeah, because there's only probably one person on the whole PGA Tour that uses a blade right now.
I think Maverick went to a mallet. He's recently gone back to a blade.
Oh, really?
And that's really, I think Rory still. Well, no, Rory uses a mallet.
If you see someone Scotty using a blade,
uses a mallet. What do you feel like? What do you feel like is? How do you explain? I feel like so many young players now ball strike it at such a high level, and the putter always seems to be the one area of the game that, you know, you didn't want to use the word struggle, but the one area that's kind of hit or miss. Why do you think that is? Is that just because of so much focus on the ball striking, or is it because maybe the expectations for making a ton of putts is too high?
I'm not sure I have an answer for that, but I would say the mental game in putting is super, super important. Something that I've realized is I've seen some really interesting strokes and the way people roll the ball, but at the end of the day, you got to rock what you're doing. And as long as, you know, something I noticed with the PGA professionals is they're so repeatable. They have what they do, and they just rinse and repeat every time. So I think the mental game and expectations along with putting is really important.
Are you an aim point guy? Or
I'm not.
Have you ever tried it?
No, nor do I want to.
your roots in basketball, growing up playing, I think about the way Spieth approaches putting, and that a lot of times he's looking at the hole, not necessarily at the ball. Is that something that you do, or that you've tried, like just being more athletic and kind of treating it like you're shooting a jump shot?
Exactly. I never want to get too technical in my swing or in my putting or any part of my game. I really like to keep it simple and creative and, like you said, athletic. I feel like I play my best when I'm doing that. So yeah, I feel like just being really creative with my putting and not really being too technical is something that's helped me.
So you're a member of the U.S. National Junior Development Team. I always get the terminology for that kind of mixed up sometimes, but you're a member of that team. What do you feel like has been the biggest benefit, you know, being under the tutelage of Coach Zambri and being around all those great talents?
Yeah, they obviously have a lot of great resources, but I would say the biggest thing for me is just having a relationship with Coach Zambri and kind of picking his brain, getting information from him, and you know, he's really big into the stats and data and all that stuff. So it was cool to kind of get into that a little bit and just see, you know, what it looks like, all the data and stuff. Like I said, I don't really want to try to get too technical with data and stuff like that, but yeah, it's and then just being along with last year with the junior team, just being alongside the best juniors in the country, iron sharpens iron. So that was a lot of fun being with them. And then this year being on the Elite Amateur Program roster, that's going to be another great experience with the team.
How many line tests has Zambri had you do?
I've done quite a few in the last couple of years.
Yeah, just the putting test, the line test. I back when he was coaching at USC, I went and did a instructional piece with Justin Suh when he was still there, you know, four-time All-American. And I was just amazed at, you know, because I had never heard of it before. And it's just amazing how stuff like that, like you mentioned the analytics, I don't really even consider that analytics. It's just kind of knowing how to practice, right? And being able to compare baselines and seeing improvement, right?
Yeah.
And did you guys do a combine recently, maybe last year, with the development team where you kind of jumped, you know, did verticals and maybe some running and different things like that?
Yeah, we did that at the training camp. We did a little kind of just testing our physical abilities, jumping, all the stretches, and I don't know.
How'd you do?
I think I did okay. Yeah, I think I was all right. I know I was improved, but
what was your vertical? Do you remember?
God, I don't remember. We recently did it with our BYU team. We tested our vert, and I was the best vert on the team. I think I was like a somewhere in the mid-20s, I think.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Can you dunk a basketball?
No.
Never.
Maybe in a few years, but not now.
Maybe like the mini ones, like the...
Yeah, maybe a tennis
ball. You can touch rim for sure though, right?
Maybe. That's probably a little bit of a stretch, but maybe in my prime I'll be able to touch the rim.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about goals moving forward. It's I mean, gosh, conference championship season and postseason is going to be here before you know it. What are kind of your short-term goals? You probably have big long-term goals of where you want to be in this game, but what are some things on that checklist over the next few months?
Yeah, we got the Western Intercollegiate coming up next in a couple of weeks.
On Golf Channel.
That's probably one of the more prestigious events. So I've been looking forward to that one all year. That's one that we want to win as a team. And then, yeah, I think we all believe that we can win a national championship in the postseason. I think we have the guys to do it. We have all the belief in the world, and we just got to – I feel like these last two tournaments have been, you know, pretty big for our team and momentum-wise. You know, I feel like we need to start playing our best golf, you know, as we get late into the season. So those two tournaments were big for us. And, yeah, I think we just got to keep the, you know, good positive energy as a team. And, you know, we'll see how we do.
What has this team learned about the importance of final rounds this spring? Now, you mentioned it's been a good year, but I had you guys almost preseason top 10, not quite there, but it seems like a couple of tournaments you guys haven't finished off the way you would have liked. What have the coaches, how have you guys diagnosed that? And, you know, how does that get corrected as you guys move into these tournaments where it really matters?
Yeah. Our energy levels, you know, can kind of fluctuate, you know, especially on 36 whole days. Especially in the fall, you know, we had some problems with energy, and we were just kind of a little bit down sometimes, or we kind of, you know, fluctuate. I feel like we've done some good work in, you know, with our psychologists and, you know, in the gym with our trainers, nutrition wise, I feel like we've improved. So, I feel like, you know, any little advantage that we can get as a team, you know, I think we're going to take.
You're just inside the top 50 right now in the World Amateur Golf Ranking. I've been told that you're going to move to 32 come Wednesday. So when this episode comes back, you'll be nearly in the top 30. I don't know where that ranks among Americans, but I know you know this, but you're getting awful close to being on that radar for the Walker Cup this summer at La Hinch if you're not on it already. How much do you think about that, and how much of an honor would it be to do it? And I'm sure a couple years ago you probably, you know, would have maybe thought more about the 2028 Walker Cup maybe than the 2026.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it at all, really, just
until now. Yeah.
Just now. that would obviously be an honor to be on our Walker Cup team. It's probably the pinnacle of amateur golf. So to be on something like that and represent the country would be unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kihei, thanks so much for coming on. And again, it's going to get fast and furious these next few weeks, but great playing, and we look forward to seeing what lies ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
And hope to see you in Ireland this summer.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was Kihei Akina from BYU. Again, thanks for everyone who listens to this podcast. I've also heard Kihei's dad is a frequent listener sometimes as well. So, thanks so much for listening and supporting College Golf Talk. For Brentley, I am Brentley, but for Berko, who is not here, this is Brentley signing off, and we'll talk to you next week.